Massive week in politics. A crucial government-ordered report on the state of the major paramilitary organisations was published. The report concluded that all the main paramilitary groups have not gone away. It said the IRA's Army Council is still in existence and IRA members believe it oversees Sinn Féin. Although it also said it has a wholly political focus. The report also stated that despite all the focus on decommissioning, the IRA, UDA, UVF, INLA still have access to weapons. But have we not been told that the IRA had gone? Have a listen to what the DUP leader, Peter Robinson, said in an interview given to journalist Amanda Ferguson at Stormont Castle this week.
The only other thing that I think seems to have taken some politicians by surprise is the role that it is deemed some members of the Provisional IRA think the Army Council has in relation to Sinn Féin. I'm a bit amused by all of that, I have to say. For me, it's a distinction without a difference. For me, the DNA of the Army Council was identical to the DNA of the Sinn Féin leadership. Some of the people are singing and dancing on this issue at the present time were amongst those who shared my view that the two were inextricably linked. And indeed, I have to say, I'm a bit older than everybody in this room. I remember back in the early 70s, a police arrest in the markets area. During the search that took place, they came away with the constitution of the Republican movement. And it showed that the primacy within the organisation was that of the Army Council. So for the last 43 years, I have believed that the Army Council was a senior body within that organisation. And I consistently argued that the Army Council should be off the stage. It should no longer exist. And I'm pretty sure that any democratic colleague would agree with that. But over the last number of years, I think the role of Sinn Féin has reached such a stage that I don't honestly believe that when Martin McGuinness made some remarks today up in Port Rush to announce that the Open was coming to Northern Ireland, that it had to be approved by the Army Council and the IRA. So, I mean, I just don't think there is any difference between the leadership of the IRA and the leadership of Sinn Féin. That's consistently been my position. But we do need to have a situation where we are relying entirely on political and democratic structures, and there is no room for paramilitary organisations.
Well, that's fine for Peter Robinson to say that now, but it was his party which promised that the Army Council would be gone before policing and justice powers were devolved in Northern Ireland. They promised it. So now he tells us that he's always believed all along that they were one and the same. And yet the DUP absolutely promised people in Northern Ireland that the Army Council would be gone before policing and justice powers were devolved in this country. And if Peter Robinson does believe that, does that mean that he believes, for example, let's just follow the logic here, does that mean that Peter Robinson believes the Army Council are sitting on the policing board? Does he mean that? Do you mean that, Peter? Are the Army Council sitting on the policing board of Northern Ireland? We'll get your reaction to this. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you think things should go on. 030 30 80 55 55. Last night, Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly was asked about the IRA during an interview with Mark Cruthers on The View.
It continues to be your position, does it, that the IRA simply does not exist?
It is my position that Sinn Féin is the only Republican organisation which is pursuing the struggle for United Ireland, and I am part of that organisation, and we do not take instructions from anywhere else except the Arcola.
Well, that's interesting, But I still have to ask you again, does that mean...
But you keep asking me...
No, because I don't think you've completely answered it. Does that mean that the IRA does not exist?
I've sat many times with you, Mark, and I haven't given you the answer that you wanted.
It's not a question of the answer that I want. Well, I'm just trying to clarify exactly. Just give me a yes or no answer. Does the IRA exist?
And this, of course, is not a courtroom. I will give you the answer whether there's one word in it or 20 words in it. I'm telling you...
Well, I'm trying to simplify it to make it easy for you. You can just tell me yes or no.
I've already said that they do not exist. I live in the areas. I can tell you that they are not there. They are not involved in any action at all. And if you go into the areas, you will find out, that out from people.
Well, Danny Morrison is with us this morning, former Sinn Féin Publicity Director. Morning to you, Danny.
Good morning.
Good morning. The commentator, Alex Kane. Good morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Danny.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Do you think people would be surprised at the existence, the suggestion of an existence, Danny Morrison, of an army council?
Well, I mean, just as Gerry Kelly said during the interview last night, I live in West Belfast. And, you know, I know the distinction between what was going on in the past and what has happened today. And I see no sign of IRA activity whatsoever. I don't see any sign of people meeting in call houses. I don't see any sign of recruiting the way they did in the old days. You know, they would make speeches, put out posters, leaflet. At rallies, the language and the rhetoric would be all about resistance. You know, join your local unit of the IRA. None of that is happening. And I think that, you know, if you look at the actual report, I mean, the report is full of more positives than it is in negatives. And what we're doing is we're just lifting out of the report. By the way, and I do not accept that there is an operational IRA in existence. But that's just, this is the point you're lifting out of the report. But look at the other things about the report. I mean, it says the IRA isn't recruiting, but the UDA and the UVF are recruiting. It says that the IRA, you know, in terms of it, if you accept the report, it says that there's no procurement of new weapons. That the existence of it enabled the transition to a peace process, and all of the structures that it names, some residual structures, are committed to peaceful means of achieving the Republican aims. And I think those are very important if you accept the validity of the report.
But Danny, it's not irrelevant, is it, that there is a suggestion that the Army Council may exist. So let's take this to the extreme. And I acknowledge that this might be to the extreme of a worry for the most worried type people in Northern Ireland. Okay? But let's just...
Well, it's you who is intensifying the paranoia. The fact of the matter is...
Not intensifying anything. If MI5 and the PSNI publish a report which have words of Army Council controlling Sinn Féin in it, and they say that's what members of the IRA believe, then obviously, Danny, that's going to be scrutinised. So let me just put the question to you. What if in the future, there is a situation during which the Army Council decide, you know what, actually, violence would be appropriate, and Sinn Féin's Martin McGuinness decides, no, it wouldn't, you know, we're on a peaceful path here. Who controls who? That's why this question is so important. Does Sinn Féin, or does the Army Council tell Sinn Féin, do you know what, we're doing it anyway? What happens?
Well, first of all, the audio on that Peter Robinson interview, presumably in the hall of Stormont, was very, very poor. But from what I could hear, I think that he was referring to a 38-year-old document when there was an aspiration by the IRA that at that time to... control Sinn Féin. And that undoubtedly that document existed. It was caught on Seamus Cooney around 1977. That document existed. And even though there have been people who were in Sinn Féin, people in the IRA, and sometimes dual membership was held by different people at different times, the fact of the matter is that what is happening now and has been happening for the last 20 years is fairly transparent. And to say that the IRA, you know, controls Sinn Féin or controls influence over its policies. The fact of the matter is that no Sinn Féin policy appears out of thin air. You look at the structures, you look at the meetings that take place, you look at the decisions that take place, you look at the Ardesh, etc. Those are where the policies come from. So to me, it is a nonsense to suggest that Sinn Féin is controlled by the IRA. That's the first point I want to make. And secondly, people like myself, we had the... people like myself, you know, I wrote at the time when the first mention of decommission, I actually wrote an article, not an ounce, not a bullet. And yet the IRA went and put its RFP on use. That was quite, that was quite a turnaround. It wasn't expected.
Alex Kane, the report does say the IRA is not coming back.
It does. I think that.
So why worry?
In one sense, no. Because the reality is, there are paramilitary organisations out there. There will be paramilitary organisations out there, according to this report, for decades. The very last concluding part is they're saying even the ones in CSIR are up to their necks in criminality. What matters here, and I have some sympathy with Danny's point, it doesn't actually matter what Danny says or what Gerry Kelly says or Martin McGuinness says. As far as the DUP, UUP, TUV, UKIP and most of mainstream unionism are concerned, Stephen, they believe the IRA still exists. They believe the Army Council still exists. They believe they didn't go away. The question is, what unionists do with that information? And as it stands at the minute, the DUP, we just heard Peter Robinson say, well, I've always thought, all the way through they've been here, we heard Mike Nesbitt saying Sinn Féin are in denial. But the fact remains that the DUP and the Ulster Unionist Party are still in the talks process. They're working towards a deal, fully expecting within a matter of two to three weeks at maximum to be back in government, well, in the DUP's case, back in full-throated government with Sinn Féin. And this is the conundrum in all of this, that even if Martin McGuinness was to turn round right now, phone you and say, look, Stephen, let's get this clear. Look, enough of all this disaster. Yes, you're absolutely right. Peter's right. They haven't gone away. The Army Council still exists. Is Robinson going to walk away from the process? Is the Ulster Unionist Party going to pull itself out of the Assembly? No, it's not. There are certain unpleasant realities that both sides have to face. And one of them is that behind both of them, there may be shadowy organisations, either active or inactive, but we have to deal with that.
So in other words, why does it matter if the IRA exists? Because Peter Robinson is telling us in that interview with Amanda Ferguson, and I'll quote one of the lines, I just don't think there's any difference between the leadership of the IRA and the leadership of Sinn Féin. So that's the point you're alluding to, Alex, right? So, you know, if it were to be proven that the IRA absolutely still exists, is still active, Peter Robinson's saying he's known that all along.
Yes, and I think that's
of the existence of the IRA.
Yes, and a lot of DUP, listen, Steve, this is not a huge secret, but the DUP members didn't read this report on Tuesday afternoon and go, oh, we always took... They've nearly all believed it. Nearly everyone I ever worked with in the Ulster Unionist Party, even when Trimble was setting up the deal, believed that the IRA still exists. And I remember somebody saying, a very senior member saying to me, and I've heard it reflected by the DUP since then, that yes, this is going to be a long, unpleasant, unpalatable process with organisations on both sides still existing, but what we have to do is secure a form of stability and government in Northern Ireland in which the paramilitaries actually become utterly irrelevant because there isn't a shred of justification for keeping them.
And where, Alex, is the body of unionist opinion on this? Is it with the likes of Ruth Patterson, who I see has told the newsletter that ordinary party members are extremely confused and angered by the DUP's return to the executive just hours after news that the IRA still has guns? Is it with Ruth Patterson who says that Trimble was hounded for far less? Or is it with those who say, look, build an imperfect peace, accept blurred lines, build a new Northern Ireland?
I think my gut instinct, and this is a very personal thing, Stephen, I think, I do an awful lot of panels, I do an awful lot of non-political stuff, and what I find is people say to me, they're not shocked. It's like I talk to Republicans who are not shocked that loyalist paramilitaries exist. I talk to people who have been the pro-union side, not unionist, but pro-union, who accept that the IRA and other organisations still exist. But yeah, their line is, what do we do? Where do we walk away? Do we collapse everything and wait until some moment comes and all these organisations are gone? Or do we accept? It's almost like the authentic mammon argument. You accept that there are nasty things out there, but you have to build something better.
And yet the DUP know that many people remember how brutal they were with the likes of Trimble. Their hardline approach. Is that coming back to haunt them? Or actually, is it fine?
It's not fine. I have to say, in a personal, I remember this. I worked for the Ulster Unionist Party at that point, right the way through. I was one of the people who believed in the peace, arguing in Orange Halls and other places across Northern Ireland. Look, guys, this is at this moment, this is as good as it gets. Huge risks involved here. We're going. I remember people in the Ulster Unionist Party in the deep attacking me. I remember people in the Ulster Unionist Party who left the UUP because they thought it was a rollover organisation, who are now in the DUP and have been on radio and television the past few days defending the DUP's position. So yes, there is a bit of anger on both sides, but at the heart of unionism, Stephen, the heart of mainstream unionism, both the DUP and the, and also I think to some elements of the TUV who don't want to collapse all of this, there is, if you like, a resignation, a grudging resignation that we have to build. There is actually no alternative, because if you collapse it tomorrow because of this report, you're going to come back in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years with exactly the same pieces of the jigsaw. So don't take the huge risk of just walking now. Try and build something. And I say that as someone, as you know, who's not particularly optimistic or, you know, dewy-eyed about all of this. But honestly, I do not see a viable, available, credible alternative to what the parties are trying to do now.
030-30-80-55-55. Liam, first call of the day. Morning to you.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Liam.
Stephen, it's just that you seem to be treating this report by the intelligence agencies as some type of gospel. A couple of times you've held up the credibility of it. Is this the same intelligence agencies that drew up the report about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, a disastrous report that led to hundreds of thousands of deaths?
This is the PSNI who helped draw up this report, who Sinn Féin support, Liam, who Sinn Féin helped appoint its chief constable.
That's an MI5 report as well.
Yes,
Stephen,
but it's also
Stephen,
a PSNI
Stephen,
report.
Stephen, you report. You stated that it was an MI5 report.
It's right? A PSNI. It's a joint PSNI and MI5 report.
Stephen, I'm sorry for shouting, but I'm sorry for you shouting, but MI5 have been proven to be disastrously wrong in the past, in the recent past. Now, see, whenever you're talking about shadowy organisations operating in Ireland, when is there going to be some focus on the likes of MI5 or what the XRUC detective John D. Brown called Into the Darkness in his dealings with the Special Branch?
The problem for Sinn Féin here, Danny Morrison, is that they support the police.
I don't see that as being a problem at all. It's a problem with some former Republican, former mainstream Republicans who have become dissidents. But all of us have had to resile from fundamental positions. And you can hear the awkwardness in the voice of the DUP denying as such, but they've taken the right pragmatic decision.
But somebody's misleading the public here, Danny. Somebody's taking the public for fools. You've got the PSNI and MI5 publishing a report saying that the IRA exists, and you've got the political party, which supports the chief constable, which supports the police, saying, nothing to see here, IRA doesn't exist anymore. Somebody's been taken for a fool.
We could be taken for fools. All of us could be taken for fools. The fact of the matter is that, and I know it sounds old hat, but in my opinion, back in 1984, the MI5 had the ear of John Major. That's why he procrastinated for so long. They were telling John Major, don't let Sinn Féin into the talks. Stretch the talks out. This will bring down Adams and McGuinness leadership. They will seem to have no credibility. Because there's still a section of the MI5 believe that the war shouldn't be ended, that objected to the war being ended and wanted it to continue. So there are still mischievous people out there inside intelligence, although I do believe, the PSNI, the fact that it's a joint report means that that MI5 are telling the police without revealing their sources, this is what we have heard, this is all what our intelligence says. But isn't it really interesting that they know everything after something happens, but they never know when things are going to happen? So this business of, we've infiltrated the Republican movement with spies here and there, why don't their spies tell them what's going to happen before it happens? But they're always able to come out with these highly prejudicial, highly politicised charges which cause damage to the body.
Okay, here's Jimmy in Milan. Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Jimmy. Jimmy's fallen asleep.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Just starting this because I think it's a very poignant day today. It's the 23rd anniversary since the terrible attack that the IRA bombed Frizzell's chip shop on the Shankill and killed nine innocent victims and one murdering terrorist scumbag. Now, I just like to ask a question, and Danny Morrison's on there, and ask it probably directed at unionist politicians. Given this report has stated that there is members of the Provisional IRA believe that members of the Provisional IRA have some sort of control, at what level, I don't know, over Sinn Féin, okay? How do unionist politicians feel about potentially now sitting with people that we have been told may actually have played a part in that attack or had some sort of say in that attack 23 or 22 years ago today. How do the unionist politicians feel about that now?
What will they be thinking to themselves, Alex Kane, as they ponder that question?
I think it's a very fair question, that, because I think you can pick a date, almost any date over the past 30 years, and it will have real poignancy, Stephen. I mean, I've been there myself. There are days I know, you know, when I remember people who were killed, and it still hurts. 20, 30 years later, it still hurts. But here's the reality, you know. The response of unionism to the report on Tuesday, and it was difficult, it was getting confirmation. Maybe that's what Robinson wanted. Maybe he was cannier than we thought. He actually wanted to say to people, here is the reality. All these organisations exist. There's criminal activity. There's paramilitary activity. There are vestiges of a very bad, very dark society that used to exist in Northern Ireland. What do we do? Do we go, right, that's it, these guys exist. We can no longer talk to them. We can no longer govern with them. We can no longer negotiate with them. Or does he do what Trimble had to do? Does he do what Faulkner had to do? Does he do what almost every leader of unionism and nationalism has had to do for the past 50 years? You accept the unpleasant realities and you say, is there any way, are there any circumstances, or is there something we can do which will actually change Northern Ireland for the better?
Yeah, but
will
Jimmy's
make a
point,
life for people.
Jimmy, our caller here, Alex Kane, his point brings home to some people, doesn't it, that actually we can talk politics, but there is real pain. There are victims in Northern Ireland with very deep, hurtful memories of how they lost their loved ones. And Jamie is asking this morning, given what he is hearing in the news, are some of the people that gave the go-ahead for the Shankill bomb, or some of the people that decided to blow people up on a pedestrian street, are they in government and is the DUP sitting beside them?
I think
that's what Jamie is asking.
Well, then my answer to Jamie, and to personal defense, all I can give, Stephen, is yes, I think Jamie may be right. It's possible, maybe not in government in the sense in the executive, but certainly I suspect that there are people sitting on the Sinn Féin benches who have had intimate knowledge of events that happened in the past. But do you go on from that, Stephen, or do you not? That's the question. It's a moral question. It's a political question.
Well, how would you answer that, Jamie? What do you do in 2015, even if that were to be true?
Well, Stephen,
do you try to stop it happening again?
If it's democracy, the DUP are prepared to go back in, and it's called democracy, that you're sitting with people that may have made them, may or may not, but there's a good chance, or maybe even a good probability, that they did make that decision at some level. If it's called democracy that you're sitting with them people, well then, God help us, Stephen. God help us.
What's the alternative, though, Jimmy?
Well, Stephen,
Remember Sinn Féin's democratic mandate. Remember the good, decent people who are walking out to a ballot box and voting for Sinn Féin. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I totally understand that. Doesn't mean it's right. No, it doesn't. Hitler alone had 78%. Okay, now we're going off the subject, but you're talking about democracy. And it's just a wee point. Hitler had 78% of the majority in Nazi Germany at the time. That was called democracy, Stephen. Look how that ended up.
Well, very different situation. And Danny Morrison, you'll want to respond to that. Danny Morrison?
Yes, well, you know, the way I respond to that is that, yes, of course, all of these unconscionable things happened in the past, but it just didn't happen to one section of the community. Mike Nesbitt's Ulster Unionist Party was in government at the time of Bloody Sunday. So should nationalists then boycott the UUP? The Ulster Unionist Party were in charge when several thousand houses were burnt down in 1969. The RUC covered up at the time, wouldn't reveal whenever a chief constable came over from London to carry an exploration of what happened there, who was responsible for killing 9-year-old Patrick Rooney, etc. What do we do? Do we just, that's it, close ourselves off, go into fundamentalist positions? I think that Mike Nesbitt, I believe, you know, he's turned to the right, he tried to spook the DUP. I think the DUP took the wrong decision some weeks ago. But now they've taken the right decision, a pragmatic decision, that in the interest of the future, the young people here, all of us, we need to thrash out and finalise the Stormont House agreement.
And what damage is it going to do to the DUP, Alex? Is it going to be minimal? They can probably live with Ruth Patterson being angry with them.
Yes, they can. The difficulty for the DUP, well, it's not quite the same as the Ulster Unionist Party. If you're going back 10 years, Stephen, the DUP was a very clear alternative to the Ulster Unionist Party. That's it. The line they took, Danny will be aware of this, the line they took is we would be tougher than Trimble. They didn't come out. I mean, people forget that the Democratic Unionist Party took the decision in December 99 to stay in government, to take executive positions, even though the IRA hadn't decommissioned at that point, because the DUP at that stage knew there was nowhere else to go. That's why they stayed in the process. If you're asking at this stage, will there be damage? I think there will. There will be minimal damage. But if you're asking, is there a big, credible alternative to them? In other words, can the Ulster Unionist Party start picking up 15, 16, 17 seats from them? Can the TUV do it? Can the UKIP? At this stage, no, I don't think they can. So I think the DUP can weather this. If they can nail a deal, which I think they will in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and have a 3 months of being seen to do something positive, then yeah, for all the wrong reasons in the eyes of some people, Stephen, yeah, I think the DUP will weather this particular storm.
Okay, Alex and Danny, thank you very much indeed.